Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the week's stuff in Apple. And I thought it was going to be a bit of a lame week, but actually, there's quite a lot to talk about, really. Not too bad. Joining me, fantastic bunch, top left, starting us off. Joiner, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Dion, except for I'll give a warning to everyone. If you're out doing yard work, do not get poison ivy.
Ooh. Oh, right. Well, have you got stung then?
I did not know it was poison, and I got a good dose of it. And so I'm covering myself with calamine lotion and trying to not to scratch.
Don't need that mental picture, mate.
This is why it's important to pay attention to where you sit in the garden, Chuck.
I was not sitting, Jeff. I was actually working. And of course, that meant that as I was cutting the weeds, they were splashing the stuff on me and I didn't know it. So what can I tell you?
It's like a triffid.
Yeah, not a pretty picture.
That just sucks.
I don't know if do we get poison ivy in this country?
I think so.
I've never met any.
I've never. Yes, says Muller. Mr. Horticulture says yes. We'll go with Muller.
Considering his stream's been dying for him, we don't know what he's actually answering yes.
Good point. Good point. Yes.
Good one. Okay. I apparently have plenty of it, so if you want some, I'll send some over
for
you.
No, it's fine, thank you. No. If Muller puts anything other than the Wikipedia link now, I'm not clicking it. Dave Ginsburg's next. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Glad to be here and enjoyed the week off doing nothing. And I took a staycation. Yeah, I was going to go to Vegas this week, but not with this variant going on right now. So but we'll hope to go later in the year. But no, enjoyed the week off and glad to be here today.
Muller's show stealing again because he says they've got another plant in their garden that causes welts. What's your symptoms, Chuck? Are you getting blotchiness or irritation, urticaria, or are you getting welts?
Welts, irritation, deep redness, itch. Yeah, it's a little bit of everything, unfortunately.
And Amazon are about to deliver a parcel here. So
yeah.
That's the beauty of having a van. I can just see someone come up on the other side. Next to Dave, it's Patrice. How's it going, girl?
Doing good. I'm doing good. It's finally Friday. I'm happy the week is over. I did not have the week off, so not like I would have switched places with David. Like there was so much to do. Funny story. Like, no, actually, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you later. It was something like nobody else would understand, so never mind.
Okay, you're going to tell us?
I'm still, No, it has something to do with your company. So, I took a nap before the show, so as you can tell, I'm still not fully awake.
The I really needed it.
I could not sleep last night, so that was that.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah. Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm doing well, and. Yeah, we'll see if my power stays on for the rest of the show.
Yeah, no, you'd be good. Don't worry about it. It's only Muller watching anyway. And he's stolen the show again because he's got a common spurge in his garden, apparently. Muller's common spurge. May I have a show?
Title?
I don't want to Google that. I don't want to Google that, though, for the show.
I would say don't Google that.
Don't put in common spurge.
Yeah, and if you put in Muller's common spurge, I think you get a OnlyFans page.
And last but by no means, Mr. Callum, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. It's been another busy week.
Well, we like that, though, surely.
Yeah, it's good. The weeks go absolutely flying. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but...
You posted a picture today of a MacBook and a protein shake, didn't you? And they weren't separate.
No.
My life!
They were not separate. And they haven't invented a way you can transmit smell through the internet yet. And
of course, it's milk. Yeah.
Yeah. It was 4-day old milk that had been in a warm backpack.
In a backpack.
The only thing that wasn't broken on the machine was the bottom cover.
Wow.
So are you actually going to repair that, or is it trash?
No, it's to be fair,
beyond
economical repair.
Yeah, and also as well, we could repair it, but it would literally just be the bottom case, which is a piece of metal. It would not have had any just of the original machine left in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'd be looking for a donor machine, effectively, and just swap the bottom case out.
Probably wouldn't even do that. We'd just replace it. Yeah. But funnily enough, they didn't go ahead with it. They are looking at data recovery, which will be interesting if it happens. But there we go.
Well, could you get access to the drives to get them off?
We could on that one because it's got a lifeboat connector.
Right, that's good.
And we have the Apple proprietary box for it.
No, good. Excellent. The week in Apple. All the stuff that's gone on then. So OS 12 and iOS 15, iPad 15, Watch 8 and tvOS 15 have all dropped public bases this week. Has anyone installed?
I have it on my camera. It's not been too buggy, surprisingly. I haven't had a lot of time to play with it too much. I have it on an iPad here too. I want to start trying the live text now that that's working.
There do seem to be an awful lot more stable in the last sort of five iterations. The public beta seems to be, I don't know if it's because Apple have had some people going, oh, it wasn't very stable. Well, it's a public beta. What the frigging hell did you expect, you moron? Mm. But Apple have just kind of held it back a bit more, going, well, we don't want that kind of negativity.
I think they've also learned a little bit how to provide something that is stable while still changing things. I mean, not everything is stable. Like some stuff still breaks because if they introduce new APIs and the app doesn't use it properly, well, the app doesn't work. They can't do much about that. Like I have some apps that simply don't work properly, and that's not Apple's fault. They like all the apps that did everything according to Apple's like guidelines, they worked just fine. But that app did some like I have one app that basically I can like use to get like it's one of those transit apps here for Austria, and that one just I can search and then it shows me the current time. That's it. So good job.
Yeah, we've had one in the office today. Me and Joe were talking about it earlier, and he's got the beta on his phone, and no banking apps are working, at least in the UK anyway. He's downloaded it and then checked his bank a week later or whatever, and he just gets the splash screen and then the app crashes. And that's on pretty much every banking app. He's had a good look into it. So if you are thinking of doing it,
I don't get it on one banking app, but I do on another where it just shows you the splash screen, then it goes away. And if you restart your phone, it comes back then. And it's always after I've done an update on it's the Lloyds app. Always does it. As soon as you do an update, you just get a splash and it disappears. And then you get a splash and it disappears. If you restart your phone, it tends to work then the next time you use it. So
For example, the Twitter app for me is another one. It works fine. But it does not recover. Like if you do app switching and you switch to another app and you switch back to Twitter, it crashes.
So am I the only person, though, that thinks that using a banking app on a beta is not a good idea?
No, you're not. I would never install my bank account on this phone.
my iPad with developer beta does not have any banking apps on it at all.
Me either.
I have banking apps and they work fine. I think it depends. Like it has nothing to do with the beta. It's just, I think banks are one of those like entities that tend to have the money to want something completely custom and maybe have like an experience that is the same across platforms. And then that usually doesn't work very well when there's.
I can't understand why you think the security would be less.
It wouldn't.
For me, it's just general stability. Like I don't want to be in a banking app doing something and then have
add an extra one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, or a minus one.
Yeah, screw up something.
or worse still, an extra zero.
That just still doesn't make me give me warm and fuzzies. I know.
I'm with you, John.
Pay Verizon $1 million.
No, as I said, like, most apps are fine, but there are some that simply don't work, and that's to be expected. Like that's what you get for.
Miller's still going on about rancid plants, and he's got giant hogweed apparently, which I think he's still on it. That's not a personal ailment, maybe it might. I don't know.
By the way, David, when you mentioned you installed the beta on your camera, I was like thinking, wait a second, does Apple do camera OS now?
iPhone XR is my camera.
Okay. Yeah. I got it.
Rich bloke. Buffy says he's got iPad 15 on his old iPad Pro, and it seems really stable to him, but he hasn't tested it that much. So, I'd never put a beta on my phone, though.
No, I'm finding he agrees with you, Chuck. Betas to be really stable. And, of course, there are things that don't work. And that changes between beta versions.
Yep.
But at the same time, I'm feeling like iOS 15 developer beta is more stable than some of the public releases, you know, like official GM releases we've gotten of previous iOS versions.
iOS 13, anybody?
Yeah, that comes to mind.
Yeah. No, I think part of that is that it does not feel like, it doesn't look like there are too many major changes this year. I mean, there's a lot of under the hood stuff, a lot of small stuff, but there's not like a massive thing that Apple, where everything changed and now half of the apps don't work. I mean, other than Safari, which is its own little problem.
Yeah. Not only least they updated that.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Wouldn't say it's better, but they updated it.
No. Cosmetic changes too. Cosmetic changes, and everybody's noticing that. I don't spend that time, but I let the others, like Matt Groomers and others, they go find all the cosmetic changes like that. The camera icon looks different. Okay, I don't care about that. Yeah. Oh, but okay.
No, it's I haven't put it on, and I'm not going to put it on. I don't think. The only thing I think I will do is when it gets to when it lands for the full disc. For 12, I'm going to straight away put it on the M1 because I can't see it's going to really make it any worse. It's not got, I'm not reliant on some of the broadcast services anymore. I'm not reliant on the USB sound card anymore because we're broadcasting on Zoom now. I think this is going to be our way forwards. It's not just because I'm stuck in the van at the moment, although I don't have to be. I could gladly be at the office at the moment. I just don't want to be. Simple as that.
No reason for it. Yeah, audio hijack is one to have to be careful with on your Mac if you use it.
Right.
Okay.
That's why I'm not running developer beta on my Mac right now. Yeah. That lives on an external drive.
You boot from that then?
And then I'll boot from that.
Yeah. It's always a good way of doing it. I'm doing that for quite a long time when I had a drive failure. I used to carry around a little SSD on a little closure that I bought and just plugged it into the Mac and boot from that every time.
That's how we do most of our diagnostics, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. Apple have contacted a leaker in China and said, oi, where'd you get your stuff, mate? Tell us or we'll put you on the police. You've disclosed without authorization a large amount of information related to Apple's unreleased and rumoured products, which has constituted a deliberate infringement of Apple's trade secrets. Through investigation, Apple has obtained relevant evidence about your unauthorized disclosure of Apple's unreleased and rumoured products. Your intentional infringement is specifically manifested as publishing unpublished information about Apple's new products through social media platforms, including but not limited to the design and performance of the new products. It doesn't actually say how accurate the leaks were, but they then now issued a letter out to all leakers saying that they've got to be careful that they are misleading third-party accessory makers who will then perhaps invest in their leaks. And if they do, they deserve everything they get. And they're saying that, you know, and there's a bit of it makes me think, is this Apple going, if you release anything, we'll change it anyway, just to piss everyone off no end? Because that's what I read between the lines with it.
Yeah, I don't think they can. Hardware is hard to change at some point. Like at the point where those leaks come out, it's usually pretty much set and you can't change it because then you have to change all the tooling and everything. So I don't think that's a problem. Honestly, I'm not even sure how effective this whole thing is. Like, I mean, Apple can send out letters to people in China, like however much they want.
The only thing I would say is that this person who's Mr. White, Walter White. No, Mr. White's account on Twitter has suddenly got a new account on Twitter, which is going anyway. It's third generation Apple Pencil and second generation AirPod Pro circuitry that's been leaked. Accurate images as well of iPhone 12's rear glass, 12 mini display, A14 chip, iPad's 5 chassis. So this person's hitting a lot of accurate things. So Apple have got a real twitch on about this, I think.
Well, even if they can't stop the leaks, I think that they're legally in a bind if they don't go after the people that are pumping the leaks out, because they have to at least show that they're making an attempt to protect their intellectual property. You know, if they ever go to court and sue someone over leaks, you know, they have to be able to show that they've been trying to defend them all along and that they're not just like singling someone out.
And I like this. I know a lot of people disagree with me, but those are Apple's trade secrets. Those are Apple's things. I think there was one article somewhere that basically said that Apple, you know, wants to surprise its customers and this is spoiling it. And that's the way I feel as a customer. You know, I don't want to know. I mean, and there are a few websites out there that we all know and read that, you know, everything we know about the iPhone 13 so far. And it's like, well, we don't know anything, you know, unless you're just flat out speculating.
When you look at the leaks that came out for the 11, there was a lot of very accurate leaks there. And I've said it before, Gruber's definitely got someone inside Apple who's given him stuff, because some of his predictions have been, oh, well, there's a surprise.
Yeah, that's where authorized leaks come from.
Yeah, right. And that's the point, is that Apple, you can't have both sides of the coin, can you?
They want to control the message, right?
Yeah.
So they need to stop the people that are leaking, and then the other side of that, it's not leaks, it's controlled information release, because it's very intentional. So if it's intentional, it's not.
But it's badged as a leak, isn't it? That's the thing, is they give it to Gruber, and Gruber goes, oh, I've got this thing that's saying that this is going to happen. That's then badges as a leak. And if you're going to badge it as a leak, then it's going to attract people to doing that.
Yes, that's true.
But who's badging it as a leak? It
anyhow.
Unless it's an official press release, then it's badged as a leak.
But who's doing that badging?
Apple.
Yeah, but Apple doesn't badge Gruber as a leak.
Anything that's not official is a leak. Anything that's not official is a leak.
Yeah.
If Apple gives something to Gruber,
that's a leak. Then
Gruber posts it saying, I have a source that tells me that the new Apple Pencil is coming in 3 colors, then that's not a leak.
That's a leak.
That's how the public brands it. It's portrayed as a leak.
And the whole process of it is I can't say the word, it's branded as a leak. Whether you wanted it to or not, it doesn't matter. It is a brand. Anything that's not an official Apple leak. So go on, Patrice, go on.
I think I agree with you there, Ewan. It's still a leak. It's different when Apple goes to The Verge and says, hey, please post this. And The Verge says, Apple has told us, which is official. Like, I mean, Apple might not have put out the press release yet, but they have told them and it's confirmed. It's not someone at Apple told us something. No, it's like Apple official told us this is happening.
Yeah.
Which has happened before. I think The Verge is like known for that every now and then they will get something from Apple. Apple will, like, PR will tell them what is happening, and they will post it.
It doesn't matter if you slip and put a hole in a pipe or if you drill a hole in a pipe, it's still a frigging leak. There we go.
That's a good one. Yeah, I like that.
Okay. It's a leak until you put the tap on.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking as well that one of the reasons Apple might be doing this is to prevent prevent leaks that aren't intentional. Where like someone, I don't know, took a photo for himself in the factory and then maybe showed it to a friend, like, hey, look what I have, but not wanting it to spread really. It's just like, hey, I have seen the new iPhone. And then that other friend posts it, for example.
Well, we had someone who I shall remain nameless, who sent me pictures of the Covent Garden store because they were they had a colleague who was on the build for it, and we published those, and people were like, "Oh no, that's, you know, the Apple." We got a couple of people who were Apple who said, "No, no, I can't look. Oh my God, I'm looking. It's great. Now that was Kate who worked for Apple, and then that was the largest. Probably it's, to this day, it's probably the largest blog post we ever had on the network. We had no end of hits on that. We had companies ringing us up asking to verify the source and that kind of stuff. And are they definitely pictures? And loads of people wanted to print them. And if they'd have come to us and said, "Who's your source?" and I'd have gone, "Not telling you." It'd be interesting what would have happened.
Yeah.
And there's a thing, if journalistically, you don't reveal your source, do you? That's the whole point. Correct. If this person's acting as a journalist, then he's not going to reveal his source quite rightly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how well that's protected in US law. Probably you've got no rights at all, I would have thought, in Chinese law.
Exactly. In the US, it's protected. In China, I'm not so sure about that.
Who's your source? Not telling. Are these your testicles?
Oh, here, let me give you the name, address, phone number, and birth date.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Apple's got an issue apparently with gas contamination in the chips for the A15, for the iPhone 13, and redesigned MacBook Pro chips. I only saw this today, and I haven't had time to read it. Has anyone actually looked at this? Gas is used in the production of these chips was found to be contaminated on Thursday night. Some TSMC production lines in South Taiwan Science Park revealed that certain gases from suppliers are believed to be contaminated, quickly replaced with other gas supplies, but employees have gone home and called back to the factory to bring the situation under control. I wonder if that's going to delay anything in new phones down the future or new chips down the future. Will there be, is it mass production that's caused it, or has anyone read that story?
No. I would say it depends. If it was really like just a day of day's worth of production or two, and they detected it, and I mean, then the impact is minimal because they can just make up. I mean, the worst thing has happened, like a person that would have gotten it on day one gets it on day two.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like,
okay. They're saying that the 13 line, it comes at a particularly bad time for Apple, as suppliers are currently said to be finalizing components for the final assembly process. By the end of August, and it's for a MacBook Pro replacement as well, with silicon chips,
which is anyway delayed. So, I mean, nobody will even know.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Interesting. Heard that, it here first. Is that a leak then, or not a leak?
Yeah. It's a gas leak.
Well, in this case, gas leak. It's also literally a leak.
It's a gas leak. Callum gets the bonus point.
But wouldn't you love to know what the quality control method was to determine this? Was it, you know, the chips were not functioning up to speed or up to stability, or just exactly how did they determine that this was, you know, okay, it's not working now. Why is it not working? The process you would go through to determine it was a gas leak that contaminated the chip.
Or they like measured the gases that were used and detected something in there that shouldn't have been in there. Yeah. And, you know, the reason why they use gases is oxygen especially is pretty bad for most of your processes. So you don't want that in there.
Yeah, no. C is getting a season 2, and there's a trailer for it. It comes out on August 27th. I've got to say, I watched C and I was quite intrigued for the first sort of 4 or 5 episodes. And then I was just kind of like, okay, this is getting silly now. And by the time it hit 8, I'd had enough. Just not interested in the slightest. And they're also saying that Apple TV have already, because it's only commissioned, it's only shooting season 3 at the moment for All Mankind, but they're saying they've already commissioned a 4th season for it already. And I've got to say, I never got to episode 2 of season 2. I just thought it was bollocks.
I think I did really finish it, but I don't remember anything about it. So that should tell you how good it was.
Yeah, I'm like halfway through season 2. Where that was what, a few months ago when I hit that point.
Oh, right.
And and then I think I started watching old episodes of Adventure Time, and that seemed a lot better to me.
Yeah, I really wanted to like see it was a very interesting like approach and a very like really good actors and everything, and it just I don't know what happened. It, like, the story just got lost somewhere.
That's funny, because I watched C, and I agree, Ewan, that sort of in the middle it dipped, but I got the whole way through it, and I felt like it picked up toward the end. Okay. So that I actually was, and no spoilers, you know, I'm not going to do anything here that would mess anything up.
Well, but if you're going to spoil season one, it's 10 months ago or a year ago. It's not.
Well, yeah. But I got to the point that, okay, when I hit the last couple episodes, now I was anxious for season two. Mm-hmm. Same thing with For All Mankind. You know, there were a couple dips in both seasons, but overall, I would tell anybody, you know, slog through it and then get to the end and then tell me you don't like it. But give it a chance, because I felt like there were some real high points.
Yeah.
Okay. The slog through it bit is where I have a problem, because there's so many good shows out there. I don't want to have to slog.
Exactly.
And so it's really changed how I approach TV shows, and I think I'm a lot more fickle than I used to be. And if I have two episodes in a row of a show that I've been enjoying, and then suddenly I'm like, wow, that's just not really doing it for me.
What did I do?
Then I'm probably going to be watching another show and not get around to getting back to the one that I had been watching.
Especially with streaming right now, like, there's no reason. Like, in the past, they had to fill like a certain number of shows so that like they could go get on the schedule, like on the TV channels and all of that. There's literally no reason for that now. And you see that. Like, there are shows that have 6 episodes. There are shows that have, I don't know, 15, 12, like any number between, I would say, 1 and 30. And it doesn't matter. It's streaming. You can do 11 episodes. You can do an episode that's longer than like 40 minutes if you want to. Like,
I think there's a bit of a cancerous element within TVs and script writing at the moment. Where they've got this thing about flick-flacking back and forwards, or there's a backstory with the backstory, and there's a flashback with a flashback within the flashback, and you just go, what? And but I think you look at shows that are really strong. We've watched 7 seasons of Bosch, and we haven't. There's no dips. There's no slog throughs. There's no. It's just, it's really good. It's Rockford Files-y type, you know, it's a linear story. No, but you know what I mean? The Rockford Files are always good. You watch it and it's linear, and you see the story unfold before you. Whereas a lot of other stories, it's like you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And we're watching The Handmaid's Tale, and that does that, but it doesn't do it too much, I've got to say. Mm-hmm. But we watched, what was it we watched? And it was, I watched Jupiter's Legacy. And it was starting to get, my head was starting to hurt from the amount of flick-flacking back and forth that was going on between history and modern. And you're just like, give over, will you just tell the story?
Exactly. And I mean, it's. I don't think it's how human beings think. Like, we think mostly linearly when we think about time. Like, yeah. We don't jump in time all the time, and I think that if you do it a little bit, it's fine. Yeah, exactly. If you do it a little bit, it's fine. Yeah. But if you do it all the time, you just jump around, and at some point, you just lose it.
Yeah, you just think, oh, this is can't be asked. Can't be doing this. And that was the good thing about C, is it didn't do that much.
Mm-hmm. And, but I mean, it's okay. Like, I totally understand. Not every. I mean, there is a rare show, as you said, where there is no bad episode. Most shows don't have that, because sometimes good ideas get either they're bad ideas or they're good ideas, and then they like just don't work out when you
Orange is the New Black is a great example, because they started off season 1, 2, and 3. There were some little bits where they went back and told you a little bit of backstory, but generally 2 and 3 were pretty linear. And then they hit season 4 and it's like, oh, what should we do now? And everything was just let's just do an episode that's a backstory for each of the characters. And then we'll have a tiny little bit of plot that goes through. And by that point, I'm like, I'm done. And then we watched it through to the bitter end. And Sharon said, oh, come on, let's watch season 5. I turned on season 5, 2 episodes in. She said, this is bollocks. And we're not doing it anymore. And we stopped there. And then we never saw any more after that. Same with Kevin Spacey.
House of Cards.
House Cards. Just completely lost that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no interest in it.
See, I think this is a really interesting discussion because the movie theaters, the big ticket things, are constantly being criticized as, you know, it's just explosions, action, explosions, action, explosions, action. And, you know, there's, you just go from one incredible thing to the next, and it's eye candy and it's great and I enjoy it. But, you know, and then we're crossing over into this discussion, and Patrice's point is well taken, you know, that, okay, story arcs. I mean, most of these programs are not designed for episodic viewing. They're designed as an arc. And if you just have an arc that is nothing but action, you're going to have people complaining about that there's no depth to it. I'm with you a little bit on the back and forth, although Mythic Quest, and again, no spoilers here, but Mythic Quest did that a little bit more at the end of season two, but they did it almost episodically so that, you know, you've got some backstory. Yeah. But I think it's interesting that, you know, I feel like there need to be some lulls in the action and some fill in so that when you get to that, you know, the guy jumping out of the shadows with a knife, that you go, yeah, you know, that it works that way.
The boys handled that really well.
Jeff. Yeah.
Because you got the action when you needed it. You had the lulls and other character development stuff going on that didn't require as much action happening. And I think in what we've had, what, two seasons now of The Boys? I recall that there was one or two flashbacks, but I really can't pull anything out and say, oh yeah, in this episode they did a bunch of flashbacks.
Done brilliantly.
I mentioned that yesterday, and I think The Boys did that too. If it's at the beginning of an episode, like they go back in the past, they show it a little, like a couple minutes in the past, and then they jump to the future, and that's it. That's usually fine. It's at the beginning of the episode, you're reset, it's okay. It's just when it happens all the time, then you just lose track of what's happening when and what the story, like there are two different storylines and all that. It's just like you just lose what's happening. Ted Lasso is a good example. Ted Lasso is a good example for, like, a show that's, I mean, honestly, it's not about action at all. It has some little action elements here and there, but for the most part, it's about stories and about human interactions.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be action. It just has to be a good story.
But the thing is that, I mean, this is where they'll get it wrong as well with Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso, the first episode, or the first season, every episode I walked away from that elated because I'd had a good old laugh in it. I'd had a bit of a cry in it, but there was an uplifting storyline that was burbling away underneath it all. And you really wanted the bloke to get off with the model, and you really wanted him to have the team win and that kind of stuff. And you were rooting for him all the way through. And they'll do that through this season, I reckon. But if they commission a third season, they'll then start getting into something that's more, well, we've got to try and elongate this for seven seasons now. So there'll be backstory.
They already did get a third season.
Well, no, but you know what I'm saying?
They're already working on it.
That third season, I think, is going to be critical as to whether it keeps my attention. Because if it starts going into, well, we need to make this a bit more morose now, and we need to, you know, Ted's got to have a, I mean, it's bad enough with the divorce bin at the start, but at least it was, you saw him rising above it. But if they start going into some crap that just keeps elongating it so that it can make more episodes and chiching on the winning of it, then they're going to lose it. Bob's making a few comments here. I like to see, but it's not Apple's best. And he said, For All Mankind season two was excellent in the second half, but the first half was a drag.
So I stopped right as it was going to get good.
Yeah. Fam is still better than most of the stuff on Apple TV, though. And Baptiste season two suffers from too much back and forth as well. And also the one show that they got a Golden Globe for, The Morning Show, no sight of it yet. What's that about?
Didn't they just announce
November? I think that was November when it's going to come out.
I think they announced the date recently.
But that, what's that about? The one show that you get an award for, you don't put a season two out straight away.
Didn't they? They had pandemic. To go back and
they had the pandemic thing.
Well, and they had to redo the storyline because of the pandemic. They couldn't just proceed with the way they were going to do it because it would have been completely unrealistic. So they had to go back and redo a lot of it.
Yeah, especially in the I think the shows that are like news focused, usually have that problem that if you like, if they wait too long to release them, then some of the stuff that they talk about is simply not.
They don't tend to talk about current affairs in that, though, do they? It's not dated in that sense.
It's not dated, but it's still referenced sometimes. Like, I know a lot of news shows that they might not do like the current date thing, but there's still like certain references.
I mean, if you look at the newsroom, that definitely was, because that was referencing against realists like Fukushima and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the morning show was talking about fictional events. Yeah. It never dated itself against political events, did it?
Yeah, but I felt like the morning show really did build on the Matt Lauer thing on the Today Show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it obviously was not, and they fictionalized a lot of things, but that was the theme. And they took it a lot farther than, you know, even real life did. So
they based it on a show that no one else in the rest of the world gets. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
And Bob says he's looking forward to Foundation. Now, I got to say, there's a bit of me going, yeah, come on, stop pissing around, let's have it.
Yeah. I'm looking.
Didn't they announce that originally? Also.
Yeah, it's soon, isn't it? It's got to be soon.
Yeah. Yeah. There are so many good shows on Apple TV Plus that are underappreciated. Like Tehran, for example, which is like a completely foreign language movie, like TV show. But it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, the one that was in Hebrew, Remembering Alex or whatever it was, that was very good. Yeah. Very good. But not in Hebrew. I watched the English dub because I'm not good. my Hebrew's not what it used to be.
I'm surprised, Patrice, because I felt like Tehran, I got through it, but that was one that I felt like I really needed to slog through to see if it got good, and I might give it a second chance when the next season comes out, but I can't say that I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not top, like the top of the line of everything, but I think it's underappreciated. Like, nobody talks about it at all, and I think it was a good starting point, I would say. I think they can do better, but it wasn't like a bad show. Like, it wasn't like the Ted Lasso level, but it was like a good show. Like, the same for Trying. I mean, Trying lost me a little bit, but...
I lost me. I just couldn't do that one.
Yeah. But I know some people that like it, so...
Nintendo is discontinuing Dr. Mario World iOS game. I think Nintendo. I think Nintendo have really, I can't think of a better word than effed up their entire approach to the iOS platform. Why are you bringing out whole new ideas around Mario and those kind of characters? Just stick Mario on. Just stick Mario Kart on. Just do the very basics of what you used to have.
The core.
Bought it.
The problem is that Nintendo sees itself as a company like Apple, meaning they think they are a hardware company. And they went to sell you hardware. And so they make all these games that are locked to their hardware so that you buy their hardware.
So make a thing that locks into that turns your iPhone into a Switch, effectively.
But Switch iPhone, then you're not buying a Switch.
Yeah, you're buying the thing that makes your iPhone into a Switch.
No, I totally get what you're saying, and I agree with you. But I think Nintendo's logic would be, yeah, but you're not buying a Switch.
Exactly. Yeah, just buy a Switch in that case.
And they make a lot of decisions that that I feel are questionable. Clearly, all of us seem to feel they're questionable too, about what they're doing with their software properties, simply because they see themselves as a hardware company.
Wow.
I think that's what it comes down to.
You need to say CEO.
No, because they are massively missing the trick, because I'm never going to go out and buy a Nintendo Switch or whatever the latest thing is, but I will spend £3 on a Mario app because it is a good game. But I would never go out and buy the actual hardware platform itself. So,
yeah, I also think Nintendo is trying to replicate what they had with Pokemon Go, where they had something that built on top of a very successful franchise, but did something that I hadn't done before, and that was taking advantage of the platform it was on. And that just doesn't work with that, with other stuff, or at least they haven't figured it out. Like Pokemon Go was massive. I mean, it has
still to, is.
Still is. Like I haven't heard about it in forever, so I'm not sure.
Oh, it's as big as ever. I'm not into it, but I know friends that are.
There you go. The Pokemon iPhone game is absolutely coining it because it interacts with your local environment. You go up and you see features of, so you go to a shopping center and there's a statue, and the statue in the shopping center is registered on the app and it starts pouring out benefits to you and stuff. It's really good. It's brilliantly done up. My kids are addicted to it still.
Yep. Maybe it's because Nintendo was only like marginally involved in that one. I think they, maybe that's why.
Well, and it's not like that one was ever locked into Nintendo hardware.
Right.
True, yes.
Never was.
Yeah. We'll see. Nintendo, wake up and smell the coffee because you're going to die soon. Otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Yeah. Final story. It's the best one.
Best for last.
Apple says, don't buy replacement batteries for the AirTag that have got the bitter coating.
I talked about this.
Now, I don't know about you guys, but I never knew that CR2032 batteries had bitter coatings on them.
Yeah, I
didn't know that. So when I read this story, what did I do? Even though it was 5 minutes to showtime,
you stuck a battery in your mouth.
I went and got a battery and licked it.
Yeah.
Show title: you and licked the batteries.
So do you have to buy every branded battery in a supermarket? Sit there licking them.
I don't think they have flavor.
That one's a bit John
battery.
Smith's. Oh no!
You can just imagine. You pulled all the 2032s off the rack and you sat on the middle of the floor when you're
licking them in the supermarket.
You've been out drinking with your mates. You go to the supermarket and you're sitting there, you've got all the batteries out and you go, nope.
Well, is this a new thing?
They're a lickable interface now?
I'm in a double layers of palate cleanser.
So far, Duracell was the one that was doing it. I don't know if the other manufacturers are doing it just yet, but this has been going on for a while because there's been such a problem with children getting a hold of these and swallowing them. I mean, they keep up thousands and thousands of cases of, you know, it's pretty dangerous to have a lithium battery in your in your stomach here. Yeah. So they decided to put this coating on the Duracell batteries, and it says it, that's what the article, it shows a picture of the Duracell battery.
Yeah.
It has this bitter coating on it. So be careful. Not only should you not have a child be anywhere near the battery, be aware that it's going to be bitter. So they may not even want to do it. So, but apparently that stuff is causing the air tags not to work properly.
What is Apple doing that doesn't?
Yeah. Which is no information on that at all, which is I find this, very curious.
Hang on. Let's not get away from smelling the bullshit here. It's not Apple just going, oh no, it won't work with our air tags. Actually, it'll work just fine, but
it's a battery for crying out loud. Come on.
Am I the only one that's really confused sitting here going, they've put a bitter coating on because the battery tasted so nice in the first place?
Great point, Cal. Wow.
That is great. Oh, that's great.
Yes.
That was good.
The CR2032 cookbook. Your favorite recipes for CR232 batteries.
Well, I've got bad news for Duracell. Their warning labels are not working because this thing came as complete surprise to me because I have never seen a warning label on any battery that said, you know, it has a bitter coating. So you need to, you know, make it pink with purple or something so that people can see it, because I have, and I've bought plenty of batteries and I have never seen this. So this came as, that's why I asked how long it had been going on. I had no idea.
Well, I didn't know till today. I read the story, but it's true. I can confirm it's true. There is a bit of coating on it.
I knew of it. It just wasn't.
According
to a big deal.
According to the article that Jeff posted, the problem is the alignment of the battery contact. I'm guessing, like, if it aligns on top of the coating, then it doesn't work.
The tolerances are that tight.
I mean, besides the fact that they.
when you try to take it out of that package, it's like near impossible. I mean, they've got it so encased in plastic that, you know, they're really trying to prevent a child to get into that package to take it out. I mean, peeling off that plastic is impossible.
There's two reasons for that plastic being so tough. I mean, one is to keep kids out. Yeah, and the other is the batteries like this, that you need oxygen to trigger the chemical reaction that makes the battery actually generate electricity. Mm. So those packages are airtight.
And once
you pop that package open, that battery is now in use, even if it's not plugged or popped into anything.
Because I shouldn't be buying those real cheap ones I find on Amazon, the 10 to a pack for $6, right?
Right, and you open up the pack, and now they're all exposed in the one.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, well, every day's a school day, right there.
Yeah,
two things I've learned.
Is it batteries?
This podcast, and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. They've been absolutely fantastic. You are in the final days of their 75% off dedicated servers. If you would like to get that, we'd love to say that BTN could give you an offer code for that that'll improve it, but it won't. 75% off, it's unbelievable, and their stuff is really, really good. We're having a conversation with them at the moment about a new project that I'm getting into and using some of their stuff, because it is reliable, the customer services are good, and the access is good. So they're a great bunch of people. Go out and check them out if you want dedicated servers, VPS, VPN, hosting, anything you like, names, so on. BTN20 will get you 20% off your basket. Please use that, because then they'll know that we sent you. And also, we really need you guys to get out on the socials and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. And you're not doing it at the moment. If we lose them, we go away. Simple as. So please make sure you get yourself out there and do that. And also, I'm N Max. Callum's here every week giving us his knowledge and support. He'll do that to you as well. If you contact him, if you've got a question, he'll give you an answer to the question. You've heard us talk about the fact that protein powder or protein drinks don't go well with MacBooks. But I guarantee that person wasn't given a bill, were they, Cal?
No.
So when you send your device in, they'll give you a free appraisal of it. If you choose not to go ahead with it, then there's no charge. They're a great bunch of blokes, and they and Fran, of course. But they work here in Birmingham. They're really, really good. And if you're a BTN listener, you get 5% off by mentioning BTN. You must mention BTN, or they won't know that we sent you. So great. Anything that's going off that's really cool this week, Kai? A machine of the week, a service of the week, or
We have an awful lot of MacBook Airs in around 2014. So everything is up on our website as usual. Yeah. If you head over to automanmax.com, hit on the refurbs button. If you contact us, mention BTN before you check out, you get 5% off whatever the product is. You also get 5% off all of your repairs as well. So make sure you mention BTN before you get anything done.
And I forgot what I was going to say.
Good.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Chuck.
Okay, this is one. I apologize for the long URL, but I absolutely want to make sure I get it right to you. This was just for me, because I'm not sure you guys will be interested, but one of my favorite business books of all time has finally been brought to audiobook unabridged by Audible. And it's called Barbarians at the Gate, The Fall of RJR Nabisco. This was a situation that happened back in the 80s. And I think the story still holds up, because first of all, I remember being in business in the 80s, but it's also a look at how business was done pre-technology and how big deals were done. This to me is like just a super entertaining book, but I got to tell you, it is an investment in time, because I want to make sure I get it right. It's 22 hours and 18 minutes for the unabridged version.
Ooh. Wow.
So yeah. But I got to tell you, if you're going to do it, do not do the abridged version. It does not do it justice. And HBO made a movie out of it that was absolutely pathetically terrible. So if you're going to do it, do this. But it's amazing the gyrations they went through and how the deal came together. And I just, like I say, it may just be for me, but if you're into business books, this is one of my all-time favorite business stories. And you can get it free with an Audible subscription, for one credit.
Or so, it's $49 if you don't.
Yes, yeah. It's a hefty investment.
If you're monthly subscriber to Audible, I don't know if it's still 15 quid now or whatever, but then 22 hours is, that's a month's listening.
Yeah.
You know, or your downtime that you're going to listen, it's you know, to get through 20 hours of a book is a month, really. You know, drives in the car and trips to work and that kind of stuff. So, and
unless you do it at double speed, and then you can get through it in half the time.
Oh, I can't do that. A few people said they do that with podcasts, and I'm just like, you're a heathen. It's funny because of the pauses, and you shouldn't. If you take the pauses out, comedic timing's gone.
Yeah,
Philistines.
Yeah,
I listen to everything. I
Philistine. Sorry, Patrice. Philistine.
I'm okay with that.
Right. I'm okay with I'm okay with the fact that you are okay with that as well. And Dave, save us.
Oh,
okay. Audible, $7.99 a month for one book, says Bob. Thank you, Bob.
I really geeked out on this pick, and there probably wouldn't be much interest in many here on the panel, but this is a walkie-talkie two-way radio dual band from Beifeng. I guess it's a Chinese company. Woot sucked me in. I bought this. It was $25. What it does is you're able to go onto the different frequencies, be able to listen to, you know, police scanners and the weather scanners here in the United States. But it's also a two-way radio, but you can't use it unless you have an FCC license, which is kind of strange because they can. Yeah, so it's very similar to what you probably have there.
These are the site radios that we've got. They're both thing, and they're brilliant.
Oh, okay.
So when we go out on the site, check a radio each and saves us fire in the phone.
Yeah, and then there's what I got. It's a nice little radio, and also has FM band on here too.
Dave, have you got an FAA license?
I don't. So I'm not going to use it as that. I'm only using it for listening. So I thought it was for what the price was, I thought it was cool. It does have chirp software that you can connect to it, but unfortunately it works with a PC. I thought it was cool for $25.
You need a lithium battery with it. Have you licked it?
I haven't licked it. No, but the lithium battery is not. The lithium battery is on the back here, so
it needs a sweet lithium battery, not a bit sweet.
It has a flashlight and it has a siren. So if you're in trouble, you can make this thing go crazy on you.
There's two charging turbines on the back of this, and I just thought, I'll lick both together.
Yeah, right there.
No, I won't, because my tongue will shoot down my throat.
So wait, this could be a first right here, the first live lick of a battery of this nature.
Someone get ready to get my wife on the phone and just to go,
is it better?
Yeah, I better wipe it off.
That might be the show title, first live lick, yeah.
Moving on. Okay. Patrice.
Save us. I'm going to pick something. I don't know why I put the word Mac in the chat room in front of it. Okay, I don't know. Apple Fitness Plus. Let's make it short. I've been using it on and off, like some weeks more, some weeks less, but I usually do like one or two exercises a week on it, and I really enjoy it. It's included for me in Apple One, whatever, Premiere, I think, the whatever the top one is. I always forget. Yeah. It's included for me. What I really, really like is the variety. I mean, there are some, I know some people that like it's not doing it for them because they don't have exercises for people with wheelchairs, for example, which definitely is an area that Apple should improve. But the exercises themselves, like there are different categories, and I can just go in and say, okay, what do I feel like today? Like 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Do I do like a high intensity? Do I do yoga? I can just pick and choose what I want. And the trainers are really, really, like really, really good. They always have three people there. There's like the main trainer, but then they always have two people that do variants. Like there's one person that most of the time has some physical limitation. Like it's like there's one guy that has only one leg and has like an artificial one. Yep. And there's usually one, like one of the others is doing like a reduced motion one, or like a simpler variant of what they're doing. So you can also see, okay, I don't have to be like super, super everything. I can just make it simpler and make it work for me. And they encourage that also by talking about it and say, hey, you don't have to do this, like do it that way and make it simpler. It's just good. And it's not expensive if you think about it. It's $7.99. I mean, if you have to pay for it separately, it's $7.99 a month or $79 a year. And for what you get is that really high quality video for exercise videos. It's just said. It's just good. And to, I do frequently on the weekend dance exercises, which are awesome. I mean, they're 10, 20 minutes and you're done after. But they're awesome. Like the music selection and like how they integrate the music in the movement of that. It by no means requires someone like I'm not very well coordinated. I'm not very fit. Like none of that, not required. I think I would even say, if you're not any of that, it's probably better for you. Because yeah. I mean, it that's what the target audience. I have a feeling that the target audience is more people that are not the super hyper athletes, because those people already have like they know what they're doing and where they're going.
Yeah, Bob so, Beach says the integration between the watch and the TV is mm-hmm. excellent.
Yeah, you don't need a watch. It is recommended and better, I would say, but it is a way to use it. Like, it actually asks you if you don't have a watch whether you want to use it without.
No.
Works.
Good pick, mate. Jeff, what have you got for us, buddy?
I have LumaFusion 3, which came out just a few days ago. I do all my video editing in LumaFusion on my iPad Pro, and one of the things that I have really wanted for a long time was the ability to just load up all my clips on an external drive and work with them directly in the app. And now you can. So it has external drive support, and it has image stabilization built into the app now, which is great. And there's a bunch of other stuff that they've added in as well. But holy crap, they've taken an already incredibly powerful and really great video editor for the iPad and kicked it up to an even higher level.
Does it store your library files and your renders off the device as well on an external drive?
Yes, you can do everything directly from the external drive or import stuff to local storage and move it back. It's absolutely awesome.
Render files are things that kill video apps, just chunks of it. And also as well, I use Final Cut all the time. And the first thing I do if I load a new instance of Final Cut is just say, right, okay, leave all the files where they are, because otherwise it's just... You know, I'll fill up a terabyte in an afternoon just on render files alone. Good pick, mate. Like that. And Cal, have you got a cool thing?
Yeah, my cool thing this week is Spark Mail. Yeah. I've been after a bit of a replacement for Apple Mail. I've actually only got it on my phone so far. I've downloaded it on Wednesday and it's really good so far. I haven't actually got the paid for version either. I've only got the free one, and I'm quite impressed with that as it is. I'd love the snooze feature. It should be in every email client on the planet, to just take the ability to read the email notes there and then have it ping back up when you can respond to it. It's a really handy thing.
Yeah, I get a terrible state where I get things where I'm just like, oh, hang on. Because if I delete the one above, it'll open that one below in mail. And then I don't want to deal with that one. I want to deal with that one in 2 days' time when it's due. Yeah. Mm. And you say, we could mark it as unread. Yeah, I can, but that's just a pain in the ass. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I second that.
Yeah. I love Spark. Great pick.
Yeah.
I even have it for both work and personal accounts. Like, there's a way to set it up in a way that you can even have separate synchronization sessions. Mm-hmm. Works really well.
Yeah, there's so much in there I haven't scratched. I'm really looking forward to it, to be fair.
My cool thing is the Microsoft Authenticator app for your phone or your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, well, hang on, it's an Apple show, Ewan. The reason I think it's really, really good, and the reason I think that it's there's a way, so I've done my VAT return today, which is value-added tax. So when you buy something in the UK, you get a sales tax on it. I collect the VAT in from my customers, and then I take off the VAT from my purchases and I send them the difference. So I've been struggling to get on and off the site because of using my phone number and getting a text from them. It won't allow me to do another function that I want to do. So I went back on today, having had my phone number removed from the government gateway for reporting my VAT. And it said, or you can use an authenticator app. And I'm kind of like, it just says an authentic. It didn't give me a link to to the government's authenticator app. So I wondered if I can use anyone. So I skimmed open Microsoft's authenticator. It showed me a QR code. I scanned it, and it immediately gave me 6 digits to sign into my government gateway. And it's like, that was brilliant. I love that. The ubiquity of authenticator apps, I think, is probably one of the best things that can happen at the moment. Really, really good, as long as you trust it, of course. But no, brilliant. So the authenticator app from Microsoft, and I've got another one as well that's an authenticator app for Adobe, and I think that probably would have done it as well. As you don't need to get anything particular.
I use it for work all the time, and I like the fact that it's just put in this 2-digit code with for Outlook to sync to it, or when for work you put it in and it just automatically goes to the app, authenticates, and goes right back to it.
My logins for all my websites to do it.
Please,
especially my accountant's package. My accounts package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the integration with David said, the integration with Microsoft services on top of that is really, really good.
It's great.
It can send you a notification, and simply, like, if you log in somewhere, you just say, "Yeah, send me a notification." You get a ping on your phone. You hit, "Yes, I want to log in." It does a Face ID scan, and it's done. And you didn't even have to copy anything. It just verified that.
No, I'm really stuff impressed. Like that. Really impressed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where can we get hold of you, Chuck? Oh, your audio's gone, dude.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. MacVoices.com is where you can find everything I do. Tuesday nights, we do Mac Voices Live on YouTube at Mac Voices TV, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And I'm on the socials pretty much everywhere is at Chuck Joyner. Excellent. Thanks, Ewan.
Sorry for squinting, but the sun has just bounced off the wet road in front of me.
I see it. Yeah.
Dave, where would you be?
Be at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com. We got a new show coming out today with Brittany Smith, that was on the show. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night, like Chuck mentioned. I always have a blast here on the Mac show. And Mac to the Future Go live cast on, I believe we're moving to Monday nights next week with Guy Cyril and Warren Sklar. And find me on Twitter, DaveG65, YouTube.com/DaveG65. And thank you.
Brilliant. Patrice, where would you be?
Well, I'm here every Friday and every Thursday as well on the Big Show. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links and projects and whatnot, podcasts, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is the Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to really cool people about food and just everything that goes with that.
Brilliant. Jeff?
I am over on Twitter and Instagram, jgammet both places, and my YouTube channel, youtube.com/jgammet, the Big Show Thursdays, the Mac Show here Fridays, most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live, next week on In Touch with iOS. Thanks for inviting me back, Dave. And then today's Friday. I think there's a new episode of Apple Context Machine out, and Brian had me on as a guest. So I've been getting around as usual.
You don't need to invite him. Just tell him he's on and he'll say yes anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Callum?
You can get hold of us and everything we do at immmax.com. We're on all the usual socials at immmax. If you've got any questions, need any help with anything, I'm in the Slack room. I'm also on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. Just drop me a line and I'll do my best to help you.
Brilliant. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow me at the network at British Tech as well. We're back again next week on Thursday and Friday for more Big Show and more Mac Show fun. Please support Kyle. We need donations for Kyle to keep the show going. $250 a month does it. If everyone that listened to the show gave us $5, it would pay it. Not a problem. So please, if you listen to The Daily Show, just stump up $5 and the Daily Show will stay around. Okay. New show. Yeah. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.